You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive. Everybody turn with me to John, chapter 15. We've got a good message this morning. I had three. But I, like I said, the original message that I had actually been kind of studying on it and really had just a desire to minister on is the one I'm going with. Since then, you know, I mentioned earlier Dr. Burr had sent me a link this week to listen to this series this guy had on worship. And man, I'm telling you what, I forgot the gentleman's name, but he's out of, where is he?
Gateway Church.
You know, I don't know his doctrine and philosophies on everything and, you know, his background. I hadn't heard all of his messages. I just know that this one was real good. He was teaching on worship. And so I can recommend that you listen to at least, what number was it? What section? Was it 8 that we were on? Was it the first one? Okay, it was the first one then. Okay. Anyway, it was several segments that he did. But man, it was really good. In fact, I got fired up. I told Dr. Burrow after I got done listening to it, I said, man, that'll preach. I want to preach on that. That's good stuff. Amen. You know, talking about, you know, worship, you know, that I love, you know, of course I love to teach on worship and praise and all that stuff anyway. So, but anyway, that was really exciting. I kind of already had, you know, this message I wanted to minister on, but I was like, boy, that's really good. And I was meditating on that. You know, it's good to meditate on the Word of God. You know, you hear something good, meditate on it. You know, I'm guilty of not, you know, I'm very guilty of this and I'm confessing my sin. So you must forgive me. But I'm guilty of just really getting a nugget. You know, you get a nugget every now and then where you're just reading through, and boy, something just really shines at you. Ooh, well, that's pretty. You know, that looks good right there. You know, and I'm guilty, so guilty of not writing it down. You know, and I, you know, I write things down. I have notes, you know, of course, all over my Bible. But I have notepads that have notes in them too. But I'm guilty of not writing stuff down so I can remember them better. And I'm going to do better at that in Jesus' name. But, you know, so many times, you know, there's something that will come alive to me. I'm like, boy, that's really good. You know, I'd like to study that out a little more. And then I just, you know, I forget about it for the moment. And I'm, you know, I continue listening or whatever to the message. And so, you know, I encourage you, if you have notepads, if you have pen and paper, if you have a Bible with a pen, write in your Bible. It doesn't matter. It's your Bible. You're the one that's going to be reading it. Notes in your Bible are great. You can buy another one later and you can make new notes. So write notes down. Write some of the stuff down that we get into today, because I guarantee you it's going to be good. It's going to be able to, you know, something you can use, and you can, it'll change your life. Change your life forever. You know, it's the revelation that I received whenever I was ministering on this. So, you know, take notes. Anyway, moving along. The next thing I was actually sharing with Jeanette and Robert when we visited with them yesterday. And she was telling me about something that she, you know, was come alive to her about, you know, Isaac and the wells, and which actually kind of went along with the original message that I was going to go on today, and you know how important it is that, you know, you dig a well. Sometimes we don't, you know, let me back up. When you dig a well, you're establishing something. You're establishing that this is where I'm going to stay. This is a place that I'm going to need life, you know, sustenance. I'm going to have, you know, water. And so I'm going to dig a well, and this is a place that I'm establishing as mine. I'm claiming this area here, and I'm going to stay here for a while. And so when you know, I think a lot of times people come into a situation and they don't dig in.
Amen.
You know, they let the devil run them off of a promise. You know, stake your claim. And in order to stay there, you're going to have to dig, and you're going to have to get a lot of word in you. You have to, you know, okay, this is, I'm walking out into the plains of prosperity, and I'm sectioning off a piece of prosperity for me, and I'm going to stay in that area of prosperity, and so I'm going to dig a well, and I'm going to get in God's word. I'm going to find out all the promises I need, and all the backing that I need. What can I stand on? What can I believe in? You know, what are the promises that I can confess over my life in this situation? Start digging, and dig deep, and draw from that spring, draw from the well, you know, the Word of God. And so, you know, that was just awesome, and we're going to get a little bit into that also today. But first of all, To start off, everybody say that I'm a branch. I am a branch. Isn't that good? We're branches. What are we branches off of? The vine. The vine. You know, we are what bears the fruit. We are what the people see. When you look at a tree, what do you see? You see all the branches and the flowers or the leaves or the fruit that's on the you see the outside. You know, a lot of times you don't notice the trunk because it's surrounded by all the branches. We are what's visible to the world. You know, God is our life source, and He's our stability. He's what we are secure to. Is what we should latch on to, not just for the for the life itself, but also for stability, to keep us strong, to hold us in place, to keep us informed, keep us where we're supposed to be. But you know, Jesus is that vine, and we are the branches. Amen. And I want to teach to you today on being a branch and drawing from God. And I'll just, you know, we're probably going to read a lot of John chapter 15, and we'll spur off and hit a few rabbit trails, I'm sure. As I am prone to do, is like father, like son. I probably can't read through this whole thing without commenting, although that would be a miracle, and God still does perform miracles. But let's just start in the first verse, John chapter 15. I am the true vine, Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I'm teaching out of the King James Version. It may read a little different than the New King James. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This is what God is. God is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He's the one that takes care of us. And I, you know, I did a little research on, a little study on vine dressers. And, two of their main jobs are to prune and to cultivate. It's not, and before we go any further, I want to let you know this, that there are no sicknesses, there are no diseases, there are no trials, there are no temptations, there are no hard times that God will put you through. Okay, God does not, He's not the author of confusion. And if we went through trials and it was God, and then we went through healing, it was God, that'd be a little confusing to me. So, you know, God is not behind bad stuff. He is good all the time. And the devil is bad all the time. Jesus came that we might have life, life more abundantly. And I don't see abundant life including going under. I don't see abundant life being sick all the time. Okay, so, you know, Jesus is the answer. We need to make sure that He's not the answer and the problem. Right. Can't happen. Okay, it's not it. We want to make sure we give credit where credit's due. God heals us, delivers us, sets us free. The devil's the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Yes. Amen? So before we move on, I just want to make that clear. And so think about this. It's really, if you think about this in that light, God is the husbandman, and if you're not bearing fruit, it's not His fault. It's your fault because you're not hooking up to the life source. You've got sin in your life. What happens whenever you have sin in your life? It cuts off the blessing. God cannot bless sin. He can't help you if you're in sin. All right? So in essence, really, it's you cutting yourself off from the vine. You know? And that is the law that God put in place. So in essence, yes, God is the one that is pruning because He set the law in place that if you sin, He can't bless you. And so you, in essence, cut yourself off from the vine. All right. So when it says that He cuts the branch off that doesn't bear fruit, really, you cut yourself off.
Yeah.
Okay. The law of sin, not being able to be blessed, cuts you off from being blessed, from the vine. Okay. So now, moving along, we mentioned that God is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He prunes and cultivates. You know, there's several reasons for pruning. We're going to get into that first. First of all, when you prune, you're trying to get rid of the dead limbs. You know, you're trying to let more of the other branches that are producing fruit, you're trying to give them more life. And something that's dead, that's trying to that's in sin, has to cut that off because He can't bless that. So in other words, you know, he's going to bless these people here, and he's going to do this because they're bearing fruit. You know, you're trying to make give as much life to, you know, every branch that you have. You're trying to give as much life as you can to everything in there. Whenever, and also even if, when a branch is producing fruit, he tries to set it up. He clips here and clips there so that it'll produce more and produce more. If you've got a branch that's producing, it's got one little twig, you know, producing one little piece of fruit, we can kind of trim that branch up just a little bit, and then the next time it's going to produce more fruit.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, God's going, if you allow Him, God will hone you. He will shape you in such a way, He'll help you to be more of a blessing.
Amen.
Okay? And again, I'm not saying that God is being bad to you so that you can be a blessing. God is blessing you through yourself accepting the fact that you need to change.
Yeah.
You know, we need to change. We need to change things in our lives so that we can be more productive, so that we can produce more fruit. All right, so moving along here, it says also that it's to cultivate. And cultivating, I thought was really good, and it's really going to apply to more of my second analogy when we get into Psalms 1, talking about being a tree. You know, when we are in the light of being a tree planted by a river of water, it's the same scenario. We are beside the life source. We're a tree by the water. But a tree, you know, if you're a plant or tree, if you're a gardener and you cultivate the land, you're constantly keeping that ground where it can receive water, and it can receive fertilizer or whatever. You're keeping that ground tilled up, and you're pulling out weeds away from it so it doesn't suck up the life from the tree or from the plant or whatever. And so, you know, a vine dresser is going to help you get the sin out of your life. He's going to cultivate that ground around you. There's going to something else too. You know, diseases will try to come on a tree or a branch. And so, you know, whenever you're pruning and you're cultivating, you're trying to get rid of the disease, get rid of the, you know, the damage, bugs. You're spraying for insects, you know, on your trees. So take that, you know, that God's trying to help you. He's, whenever you have conviction in your heart about changing something in your life, that you know, doing better in a certain area or getting rid of sin in your life, just trying to help you. You know, it's constructive criticism. You know, take that and apply it, use it. Change whatever it is. You know, you need to be free, be open to be changed by God. You know, the two things that talk about, you come into church service, you ought to have two things in mind. You ought to come in here to ready to receive the Word of God, and you should come in here willing to change. Because if you come in and receive the Word of God but you're not willing to change, then it's not going to help you. And if you come in here willing to change but you don't really want to change to what, you know, they're preaching, then you're not going to receive. You're not going to get it. You're not going to be blessed because, yeah, you might be willing to change, but, you know, I'm going to be changed my way. No, that's not going to work. You have to be changed God's way. You know, God wants you to do certain things. Well, then you have to be willing to change, willing to receive the Word of God, but willing to change that way. So as we read this, just think about things in your life that you might can change, be better, produce more fruit, bear more fruit. Amen. So let's move on. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. If you take a branch and set it off by itself, it can't bear fruit. It has to be connected to the tree. So, I mean, you know, it's pretty simple. Abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except abide in me. So, in other words, you can't bear fruit unless you abide in Jesus. We've got to abide in Jesus. We've got to stay hooked up to Him. When, you know, thought of something, and I just looked over at you at the same time. Kay used to say this all the time when we were in children's church growing up. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever comes in your ears is going to come out. And so, you know, we need to abide in Jesus. We need to draw from Jesus so that what comes into us is good stuff.
Amen.
So good stuff can come out.
Amen?
Amen? And I mean, this is basic, simple things, but we need to be reminded of it. Amen?
Amen.
Garbage in, garbage out. Well, blessing in, blessing out.
Amen.
You know, good news in, good news out. Prosperity in, prosperity out. I mean, you know, as you get close to the river of God, or you are connected as a branch to the vine of Jesus, when you get close to that, you're going to get good stuff. And because of that, you're going to produce good stuff. Amen? All right, let's move on. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him the same, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You know, it's through Jesus that we can do all things, you know, through Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And, you know, Dad mentioned the other day in ministry, I thought it was cute. I hear a lot of Dad. You know, I do all the television ministry and audio and stuff, and so I get to hear Dad a lot. And, you know, I had heard this before, but I just thought it was neat, you know, because I hadn't heard it in a long time. He says, you know, a lot of people say, I can do all things. And he said that he corrected somebody that said that through Christ. Oh, yeah, through Christ. No, you can do all things through Christ. Don't be confused. You can't. You're not Superman in and of yourself. You can do all things, yes, through Christ. Everybody say that. Through Christ. So hooked up to Jesus, yes, we can endure. We can conquer. We can overcome. We can bear much fruit through Jesus. Amen. Through Jesus. Being hooked up to the vine. You know what? I have a little example here. And if you're a tree person, you probably recognize what kind of limbs these are. This obviously is a little more recognizable, is it not? Because it still has some leaves on it, doesn't it? This one here has been off the tree for quite a while. In fact, this was on the ground. I just broke off, you know, a longer piece of it here. Kind of hard to recognize what this is, isn't it? Might take that analogy a little further. You know, hard for people to recognize if you're really in Christ if you're not hooked up to the tree. Isn't that good? That good? You've got to be hooked up to the tree so that people can see that you're blessed. Amen. So people can see who your blessing comes from. So that they can say, hey, I want to be part of that tree. You know, my tree over here is pretty dead. I'd like to be part of that tree. Well, you know, being hooked up to it, I left a few on here. It was really big and full. But left a few on here so you can recognize it. This is a cedar tree. And you know what happens to a branch also whenever it's hooked up to the tree? Well, I tell you what, the winds can blow and the devil can bend you different ways. He can try to break you, but man, it sure is hard, isn't it? Wow. It's hard. I mean, that's just, man, pretty tough. That limb right there is pretty tough. The cleaning people are going to love me after this. I'm glad we don't have a service tonight. But you know, this limb here that's been away from the vine, this branch right here, I tell you what, we had a good example of it this last week, but man, it doesn't take much to break it, does it? Just to break it down, tear it apart. I mean, man, not much at all. It's pretty brittle. I'm afraid to do it because it's going to go everywhere. But you know, that's just like us. We're hooked up to the vine. We're pliable. The devil can attack you. He can't break you. He can't break you. If you're hooked up to the vine, you've got life running through you. You've got the Word inside of you. The more Word you have inside of you, the more pliable you are. The more you can take a hit, and boy, you just spring right back into shape. You know, the devil can come at you with winds and rains, and he can come at you with disease. A tree that has a limb that's got lots of life in it can fight off that disease. And I mean, there's just so many benefits to being hooked up to the vine. Yeah, plus, on top of that, boy, you look good. You guys look great this morning. You look good. You've been hooked up to the vine, haven't you? Yeah, you got smiles on your faces. You're excited. Yeah, that's the kind of life you want to live. People look on the outside and say, wow, boy, I tell you what, that's a healthy tree right there. Somebody's been taking care of that tree. Look at all those branches, how much fruit they're producing. Boy, I tell you what, that looks like God taking care of that tree right there. Yeah, God takes care of us. He takes care of us. Now, you know, we had a lot of wind this last week, didn't we? We were going down the 47 to our house, and there were some trees that they've been dead for quite a while, but they're still standing. You know, they're still on this old fence line. And, man, the wind was blowing really hard, and they were just breaking off. They were breaking off and falling off in the road and, you know, dodge out of the way, you know, so you didn't hit them when they were coming off. And, man, I tell you what, I was telling Paige about this. I drove through there, and there were some branches on the side of the road, and came back through, and there was more, even more branches, and a guy stopped, and he was moving them out of the way, you know, getting them off the road. And I'd gone into town. I came back in through again, and there's, I mean, I'm talking about more branches. More, the trees were just, I mean, just breaking off. Because they had no life in them. Of course, you know, right now in the wintertime, a lot of trees will draw that back in. It's just kind of a natural thing that God set in motion so the trees don't freeze and break off in, you know, the wintertime. But so there's not life in them. But these trees were dead. I mean, they were dead. Obviously, something had gotten in the ground or you know, some type of disease had gotten into the tree and killed them. And they were dead, and they're just sitting there. And boy, I tell you what, just like the devil came to destroy. And he did. He's able to do it. But if we'll stay hooked up to the tree, to life, well, I mean, we'll bend around, and the devil can't break you.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's move on. It's a good example. Can you remember that?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 6 again, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Well, we just talked about that. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words, oh, here's the key, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. It will be done unto you. You know, Dad's ministered a lot on this too, and you know, if you hear me referencing Dad, Pastor Mike Williams, you know, I'm guilty. I was raised by him, and that's just the way I'm going to do things for a little while. You know, I reference Dad because he's what I hear all the time. He's my hero. And so, you know, Dad ministered on the life inside the words. And the life is only inside the words if they are inside you, but come on, spoken. I heard it really soft here, real soft spoken. It was a real soft-spoken up here. The words that are spoken are life. So when he says this, I like to say this way. If you abide in me and my words abide in you and you speak them, abiding doesn't mean that it just stays on the inside and never comes out. Abiding on the inside is something that you'll say all the time. Abide, like, you know, it says you hide the word in your heart. You keep the word in your mouth. Well, it means speak them. It means say them all the time. It means, you know, confess the word. So if my words abide in you and they're the words that you speak all the time and they're what you confess over your situations all the time, if my words, those words are in you, abide in you, and you speak them, then you will ask what you will. Whoa, what's it? Ask what you will. That constitutes speaking, doesn't it? Okay, so we ask what we will and it shall be done unto you. Turn to John 6 real quick. Just hold your place in 15. We're going to come right back to it. John 6. Just back a few chapters there. You know, John 6 has 6 to 71 verses in it. We're going to try to go through the whole chapter now. We're going to cheat. Let's start at 63. Okay, everybody go to 63 real quick. I'm just teasing. Verse 63 says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that Jesus spoke, okay, the ones he spoke. It doesn't, you know, the words on this page, the words in this Bible, and the words in your heart, strictly in your heart, won't do you any good until they're spoken. Right? Does that make sense? So, you know, well, God knows my needs, and He knows what I need. He knows what I have to have, you know, the situation. So I'm just thanking God He's going to bless me. Brad's laughing back there. He knows what I need. I'm going to give. You know, this is not a slam on certain doctrines that do this. You know, denominations that do this, but I just like to give an unspoken prayer. Doesn't work. You know, I mean, the 10 is great. You know, you're trying not to disclose, you know, personal information or whatever. But an unspoken prayer is an unanswered prayer. Okay? I mean, you know, be general if you have to, or pray to yourself. Pray, you know, yourself at home, whatever. But, you know, an unspoken prayer, nobody in the church can even agree with you on. How can they agree with you that's going to get answered if they don't know what they're praying for? What are we believing for? Okay, so you've got to speak it out. And I'm not saying, you know, come bring your private prayers in the middle of the church and say, I need, you know, this person needs to be delivered because they're in drugs and blah, blah, blah. You know, no, it's fine. You pray to yourself, you know, or get with the pastor, you know, get on the phone and say, Pastor, not gossip, don't call, you will never believe what we need to pray for. No, you call and, you know, if you have a true need, and you ask prayer that way. But, you know, speak it, say it. Speak it out. It's got to be spoken before there's any life in it. Okay, so it says here, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. All right, so if you come back over here to verse 7 of chapter 15, flip back over. If you abide in me and my words, spoken words, words that you're going to speak, abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein. Okay, now wait a second. This has progressed this way in it for a reason. Herein is my Father glorified. Well, how is He glorified? Well, you asking what you will and it's being done. You asking to be blessed and it being done. That's what glorifies God. Amen. Contrary to what people say, you know, well, you know, this sickness came on me. I'm just going to give glory to God for this sickness. He's bringing me through a trial and I'm going to get better for this. Hallelujah, bless God. No, He doesn't get glory, He doesn't get praise from you being sick. Now, He can show up on the scene, and you can start speaking the Word, the Word's abiding in you, and you can get healed, and then, because you received what you asked, okay, because you got what you asked what you will, and it was done unto you, then, now, verse 8, herein, in this process, the Father is glorified. That you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so hath I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You know, we talked about the love, you know, of God. And obviously the first commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, with everything, all your being, everything that you are, you should love the Lord your God. And we talked about that worship earlier. I guess it does tie in. You know, if you really love somebody or something, you're going to try to please that person or please that man, and you're going to try to bless that person or help them out. You're going to praise, you're going to talk good about that person. And so, you know, by bearing much fruit, you're saying, hey, you know what? I love being close to God. You know, I love the life that I'm living in God. You know, I'm the flowers are just, they're neat to look at. Well, they just show you how much, you know, God loves you because He didn't make those for Him. He made those for you. He made the mountain scenes, the beautiful scenery, the birds, you know, all these things. And He made all those things for you, and they just testify of God, you know. Well, we as trees, plants, whatever, you know, being hooked up with God, whatever, you know, or branching off the vine, we should show the fruit. We should show how good God is to us. That expression of love would draw people to be in the same boat as us, to become hooked up with the same vine. You know, we should love. The second one was to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, love. Walk in God's love. Amen. Let's move on. We're going to go to one more example, and we'll probably close out here. If you keep, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, that's another thing, obviously, another benefit of being hooked up to the vine. How many of you are joyful when your needs aren't met? Not any hands. How many of you are joyful whenever you're living, living the high life, got lots of money in the bank, you know, healed, blessed, can't be cursed. Boy, I tell you what, you get excited, don't you? Yeah. You're joyful when you're in those times. Well, by being hooked up to the vine and backing up to verse 7, asking what you will and it shall be done, bearing much fruit, whenever you get down to verse 11, you can see that those things make you joyful. By being blessed, you're going to be joyful. By being hooked up to God, having that life source always constantly through you, you know, shining, beaming, you're going to be blessed. And because you're blessed, you're going to be joyful. Amen. How many of you need joy?
Joy.
We need joy every day.
Amen.
We need joy. Stay hooked up to Jesus. You're going to keep joy inside you. Let's turn real quickly to Psalms. We'll close out with this. I mentioned it earlier, but I just want to read through it. I'd like for you to get the whites of your eyes on it. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And we're just going to read through here, and I'm going to tie in some points, and hopefully this will work out good. You'll be able to see this real good. The Holy Spirit reveal this to you and make this stand out for you. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." He's not out in the world trying to put his roots down. He's not out there away from the river, away from the water. He's not out there away from Jesus, you know, trying to live lifestyle of the world, but he's over here. Okay. Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." The words abiding in him, him abiding in Jesus, abiding in the vine. There's an old song, you know, abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace, he has made them mine. I have prosperity, power, and victory, abiding, abiding in the vine. All right, I didn't mean to sing that song. It just came up, sorry. But that's what the word will do to you. It'll bring up good songs. His delight is in the law of the Lord, the word, God's word. And in his law, in his word, does he meditate every now and then?
Oh, sorry.
Meditate day and night. Night and day. I would submit to you that that is called abiding. When you abide with something, it means you stay there. Right? It doesn't say when you visit the vine. When you visit the vine on Sunday and Wednesday. When you visit the vine when you have a really big need in your life. Doesn't say, you know, when you visit the vine when everything else has failed. No. It says when you abide in the vine.
Amen.
All right. You meditate on the word day and night. All right. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, he, because of these things, shall be. This is what the result is. Shall be like a tree planted. That means that the tree is there. It's not going anywhere. It's planted. So that's where its roots are. That's where it's been established. It's dug a well. It's dug down. It's grabbed hold. Okay? He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper.
Right. Amen.
Whatever he does will prosper. If you, back to John 15, you ask what you will and it shall be done. Whatever you do will prosper. All these things come from being hooked up to Jesus. Being hooked up to the Word. Every day of your life you need to try to get into that Word, study the Word of God. Whether it be listening to stuff online like we talked about with Dr. Burr. You know, listening to messages online, listening to teaching tapes, watching stuff on TV. You know, the ministry on TV. You know, reading the Bible, singing songs, listening to the radio, Christian music on the way. Don't listen to bad music. Listen to good music. Listen to uplifting, encouraging, godly music. You know, make your reading the majority of your reading. I know there are times, you know, you read things for, you know, like a mystery novel or something. But make the majority of your reading Christian-based, you know, Bible-based reading. You know, the Bible itself or books on, you know, finances, being blessed, books on prosperity, books on healing, books on deliverance. You know, abide, hook up, stay with, get settled in the Word of God.
Amen.
Abide in the vine. And you'll be like this branch over here right here. It'd be hard for the devil to break you down. It'd be hard for you to get attacked and be destroyed. As long as you're hooked up to that tree will take care of you. Amen.
Amen.